fear is a very real thing. And I want to talk to you this morning about how we can overcome fear based on what God's Word says. And the reason that I know that this is important is that for many of you may know this, but some of you don't. We have an app. Our church actually has an app called Connect at Faith. If you go to the App Store, and you'll see our Faith Assembly logo, and you just type in Connect at Faith, and you'll see our app come up. And the app is a way for us to engage with God's Word on a regular basis, daily basis, sometimes multiple times a day if you want. You can do it however you like and set it up. But as part of what that is all about is there's a part in there that sets up your profile. And part of that profile asks you questions about what you're dealing with, things that you're struggling with. And I mentioned this a month or so ago that the vast majority of those that are engaged with that app on a daily basis say that fear is the number one thing that they struggle with. Over half of the people that are on this app, and we have dozens and dozens and dozens of people on this app using it on a regular basis, that they struggle with fear on a regular basis. There's some other things that they deal with too: anger and criticizing others, laziness and loneliness and lust and jealousy, several things like that. And what I want us to talk about this morning is, and those of you who have smartphones understand that there's an app for everything. And I want you to know that there's an app for overcoming fear. And every app that we need, an app simply just short for application, and everything that we need as far as that app is, this is our app. It's God's Word. Our app is God's Word. We can apply what God's Word says about fear and how we deal with it in our lives. And I want to start off by reading to you out of James chapter 1. Really, this is going to be our verse that we're going to go and set the foundation to as far as this app. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25 says this: "Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he'll be blessed in what he does." That's what this is talking about, is that we take God's word and we understand that there's an app for our fear. There's an app for overcoming our fear. And I want us to look this morning at what the Bible says about that. And I'm going to be brief this morning. I don't think I need to belabor this, but I do want you to take notes. If you've never taken notes before, I hope that this morning you'll start. You're going to remember a whole lot more as you write down instead of just listening. It'll also help stave off some sleepy heads that you might getting a little drowsy, keeps you attentive. Let's pray right now. Father God, we thank you this morning that you're going to help us to stay awake and alert. I know, Lord God, that your spirit is already here because your word says you inhabit the praises of your people. And where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are also in their midst. Lord, we thank you that you're here today, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us and helping us, showing us how we can overcome fear based on what your word says this morning. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us today to be equipped, to walk out of here equipped to be able to overcome fear as we face it head on and not be intimidated anymore or controlled by fear, which is a liar in our lives that would try to control us. Instead, Lord God, we thank you that you're going to help us to know how to overcome it by your grace and your strength. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing some more later on, but I want us to start this morning by just simply going right into the Word. And again, if this is your first time here, if you've been visiting for a while, we're so glad to have you. We just welcome you. And just real quick, I just want to say that game night that's coming up on this Friday is for everybody. We're going to be in the fellowship hall, and it's just really just a way to just break out the board games. If you like to play Monopoly or whatever it is that you guys want to bring, card games, it's just a way for us to get together and have some fellowship. So that's really all that it is. And I hope that you'll be part of that. So certainly see Sharon afterwards, but I just wanted to emphasize that a little bit more. I want to start off with a quote here this morning, and I want you to write this down. Fear results or occurs when your source of security isn't strong enough to sustain you in the storm. Go ahead and put that up on the screen there, Nate. It says this again. Fear occurs when your source of security isn't strong enough to sustain you in your storm. Write that down. Keep that up for just a moment. Let me give you a little example of what I'm talking about. Several years ago, in fact, about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years in November, in fact, I remember very clearly my wife and I, by the way, our 30th anniversary is tomorrow, so I just want to say God bless and happy anniversary to us, and so thankful for 30 years with my beautiful wife. But about 5 years ago, I didn't know if we were going to celebrate our even 25th anniversary because we were in an airplane, a little single, I don't know, 4 or 5 passenger airplane, and our son, Braden, our youngest son, was flying. He's at that time, he was 21 or 22, something like that. He got his pilot's license. He'd been flying for about, say a year or so. And we decided that we were going to go to Chattanooga at Thanksgiving to visit my folks who live there for Thanksgiving. Well, in the meantime, our first grandson was about ready to be born, but we weren't really sure exactly when, but he was happened to be born the day before, help me out here, the day before Thanksgiving, is that right? The day after Thanksgiving. Well, Erica went into labor that Thanksgiving day, and we were all the way in Chattanooga, and they were up in Raleigh, so not really a driving distance. So Braden somehow, I'm not sure, was he with us, or was he in, did he fly from Monroe here to go get us? Okay, so he flew from Monroe, North Carolina, a little airport, to come get us. He said, listen, I'm just going to come get you in a plane. We're going to fly to Raleigh. Everything's going to be great. No problem. So he was with us. That's right. He was with us. And we were going to come back here to Charlotte to after Thanksgiving. Well, in the meantime, we found out that Erica went into labor. Now it's coming to me. And so he said, listen, what we'll do is we'll just stop in Monroe. We got to do a little thing here, and then we're going to go up to Raleigh. So he had to, I guess, check in at Monroe to get an extra day on the plane because he only had it reserved for a couple of days. Well, anyway, there was overcast. And if you ever go over the Smoky Mountains, you know that they're not just little bunny hills. They're mountains. And you're in this little plane in the big mountains. There's no match, all right? So it was overcast and the clouds everywhere. Well, in a little plane like that, you always want to fly clear. You want to have line of sight and all that sort of stuff. Well, he didn't, so he had to stay above the clouds for quite some time. And he was getting really close to Monroe, and he was getting concerned that he wasn't going to be able to make it to Monroe. You know, he's going to have to pass over. He didn't know how far the cloud cover was. Well, it started breaking up just a little bit around Spartanburg, and he found his window of opportunity, and without telling us, now Kelly was in the back and I was in the front here, and here's Braden right here, and without telling us a word, he didn't even say anything, he just went wham like that, and that plane went like this, and it was just bebopping along, and it just went dive bomb. I felt like it was in the World War II, just, you know, the Red Baron, just wham like that, and all of a sudden, my world just flashed, my life flashed before my eyes. I just went, and I'm looking at the ground coming right at me. Nothing to hold on to, just totally at the mercy of my son and this plane that was going to hold together. I just didn't know what was going to happen. See, he found a hole in the clouds, and he was getting under the clouds. That's what he was doing. I didn't know. I'm glad he didn't warn me, because I went, no. And so we just went straight down like that. And what I was at that point experiencing was that I was experiencing a fear that I'd never experienced before, because my source of security, which was that plane, wasn't strong enough to sustain me in that storm in my life. Totally at the mercy of whatever else that was going on. That plane, I had full faith in. But at that point, I totally lost faith in that plane. And I really thought I was going to die. I really did. I thought that was it. And then he sustained, and he turned to me and he said, sorry. I said, that's okay. I'll just have to just change some clothes when I get to Monroe. But it's good. So, you know, we're not always sick in our lives. Most of the time, we're healthy. We're not always sinning. Most of the time, hopefully, we're living a life that's, you know, based on God's word, obedient to Him. But fear is something that we are either fearing someone or something, usually all the time. I would venture to say that most of us, if not all of us, if I were to drill down even a little bit deeply, and I'm not talking about catastrophic things. I'm talking about maybe in the back of your mind sort of stuff. Maybe you're afraid you're going to lose your job. Maybe you're afraid that that pain that you have in you is more than just a pulled muscle. Maybe it's something a little more tragic. Maybe you're afraid that someone's not going to love you anymore in the back of your mind. Maybe there's a fear of not being able to pay your... There's fears. There's little fears that just kind of nag at us. And some bigger fears, of course. You know, there's some fears that are actually healthy fears. I would venture to say that there's some fears that keep us out of trouble. There's reasonable fears. For example, I'm afraid that if I speed, that I'm going to get a ticket. I'm afraid if I do something illegal that I'm going to go to jail. So those are healthy fears. Keeps us, you know, straight and narrow. When you go to the zoo, for example, those cages are there for a reason. We should be afraid of polar bears and lions and other sort of things that have in their instinct to just attack and kill. They just do. That's why they exist. You know, we're food to them. So that's a healthy fear, to be afraid of those things. Certainly being afraid of, you know, a healthy fear of gravity. I totally respect gravity, especially in that plane situation. I totally respect it. Healthy fear. there's also some fears, though, that are unhealthy. They actually are unreasonable. Those fears are what paralyzes us. It's those fears that destroy us. And that's what I want us to talk about today. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. I want to give you a story here that many of you are familiar with. It's a story of 12 disciples and a Savior in a boat. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Let's start at verse 35. It says, "That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's go over to the other side.' And so leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. But a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Well, now Jesus was in the back or the stern, and he was sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him up and said to him in a panic, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' And then he got up and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, 'Quiet and be still.' And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And then he said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' Well, they were terrified and they asked each other, 'Who is this?' And then even the wind and the waves obeyed him." You know, the disciples panicked. And imagine if you were in that situation, you would probably be panicking as well. It was dark. They were in a boat, and they had no life preservers, and the storm was coming, crashing over into their boat. They were far from shore. All of these factors came to where they realized that fear brought up because they remember, fear results when your source of security isn't strong enough to sustain you in the storm. You see, they had their faith in the boat, not in the Savior who was in the boat. They were actually rookies with Christ at that time. Think about that. They were novices. They were just beginning to find out who Jesus was. So we could give to them that they probably were reasonably afraid simply because they didn't know all that Jesus could do. If in fact, the response was that they were terrified when they saw that even the winds and the waves obeyed him. They realized, wait a minute, who is this guy? They began to realize that he was more than just a great teacher or someone who did a few miracles, but there was something special about this man, and you'll certainly see through the relationship that he had with them over the period of years that it bore out. Now, on our end, let's think about it this way. We know Jesus. We know all the stories. We've read all the stories. We are on this side of it where the disciples were on that side of it. We shouldn't be rookies, but yet we are. We shouldn't be novices, and yet we are. We should have no excuse, but yet we do. We make excuses. We put our faith in other things. We put our faith in other situations instead of our faith in Christ. And instead, what happens is it produces fear. So we laugh at the disciples and say, "Oh, why didn't the disciples know about that?" But the fact is we know, and yet we still fear. I want you to think about this for a second. The disciples put their faith in a boat, which was made out of wood, Which, by the way, God provided the wood because he's the one, Jesus, who's in that boat, provided the wood because he helped grow the trees, because he made the trees that made the wood that made the boat. Which, by the way, he also created the man who gave, and then gave that man the ability to be able to then create the boat. So it all goes back to Jesus. He also even created the whole law of buoyancy. When you think about that, 12 disciples plus Jesus, I'm going to say conservatively, there was 2,000 pounds of men in that boat. Plus the boat probably weighed several hundred pounds. Let's just say all total, there's about 2,500 pounds of wood and flesh and bone in that boat. What would keep that thing from just sinking down? If you put 2,500 pounds in the water, it's going to sink to the bottom unless you create it a certain way, and that creates the buoyancy. I think it's just a miracle that boats float and planes fly, but God creates these dynamics. And yet we put the faith in the boat. We put the faith in the other things instead of the faith that we need to, and that creates fear in us. So I want to just talk to you a little bit about that this morning. What are you placing your faith in? Because if you're placing your faith in something other than Christ, and when storms happen, fear, that's where fear comes from. Fear will be produced as you place your faith in the boat, or as you place your faith in your finances, or as you place your faith in the relationship, or as you place your faith in your abilities, or as you place your faith in your job, or as you place your faith in whatever it would be. When those things are not strong enough to sustain you in your storms, that's where fear comes in. I want you to understand this. You see, when fear happens in our lives, fear happens because we've placed our faith in anything and something other than Christ. You hear me this morning? So you have these disciples who are rookies. You have the fact that Jesus knew. See, here's the thing. Jesus was in the back of the boat. Why could he sleep? Well, it's because he was tired. Okay, maybe. But why else could he sleep? Because he knew that he could calm the storm. Jesus knew he had the ability to take care of whatever may come their way. The disciples didn't. Jesus did. That's why Jesus could rest. That's why Jesus could be at peace. That's why Jesus could sleep. Know this morning, that whatever storm that you're going through, whatever that you're fearing in your life today, Jesus has got this. Jesus is stronger. Jesus is bigger. Jesus knows he can take care of it. What about you? Do you know he can take care of it? I know you may say amen, and you may say with your mouth, yes, but in your heart, do you really, really believe that Jesus can take care of the storms in your life? Because if so, you'll walk more in peace, more in faith, and less in fear. Fear is a liar. And Jesus is the truth. Tell you a story real quick to give you an example. There was this gymnast who was nervous about a particular performance and competition that she was getting ready to do. And her coach said, listen, you don't need to be, you're not, it's not that you're afraid, you're just nervous. She says, well, I'm afraid. He says, no, you're not afraid. You're nervous. He says, let me tell you, give you an example. If you were to go to a restaurant, let me tell you this. If you guys were to go to a restaurant and you were to order a meal that cost $100, which is a lot of money, and it better be a good steak. But if you go to a restaurant and you order a meal and it cost $100, you knew you were going to get a bill for $100, but you had $100 in your wallet, you wouldn't be afraid. You'd just be a little nervous, because even though you're going to get a $100 bill to pay, you can pull out that $100 bill and pay it. A little nervous. It's hard to get rid of $100. Now, the other scenario is, if you were to go to that same restaurant, order a $100 meal, but didn't have $100 in your pocket, then you'd be afraid. So he told her that story, and she went out and won the competition. See, the fact is this, what are we putting our faith in? You know, we have $100 in our pocket, so to speak. We have all that we need to make it through every storm because we have Jesus. Because you see, God plus me equals a majority. Say that with me. Say, God plus me equals a majority. Versus any confrontation, versus any storm, God is with me and God is sufficient. Amen? So when we look at that and keep the perspective is that, wait a minute, I'm in this storm, but Jesus is with me in this boat. I'm in this storm, but I got the $100 in my pocket. I'm in this storm, I'm in this test, I'm in this challenge, but I will not fear because fear is a liar and Jesus is the truth. I'm not going to fall back into this unhealthy fear that's going to paralyze me and that's going to destroy me. I'm not going to look at the darkness. I'm not going to look at the size of the boat in relation to the waves. I'm not going to look and see how far away I am from shore. I'm not going to see that I don't have any life preservers because God plus me is sufficient and equals a majority against any confrontation and any storm. I will not fear. Easier said than done. But still, what God has called us to do is to place our faith in Him. I want to give you five things very quickly as to what we can do. Practical strategy to overcome fear. Are you ready? Write these down. Five things. A practical strategy to overcome fear. Number one. Identify and rebuke your fear in Jesus' name. Write this down. You know, there's power in the name of Jesus. I want you to say the name of Jesus with me. Say it again out loud. Come on. Every demon trembles. Every knee will bow. All authority is in that name. In the name of Jesus, fear must leave. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over this that is trying to take authority over me. Do you hear me? So when you face a fear, when you're in the storm, what did the disciples do? They called out on the name of Jesus, didn't they? Take the name of Jesus, and it's more than just a name, because in that name is all authority and all power. So take the name of Jesus when you're facing fear. Small and large, it doesn't matter, but speak the name of Jesus in it. Speak the name of Jesus. Write it down. Say it again. Say, Jesus. 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 See, there's power in that name. The second thing that I want you to look at and write down this morning is this. Tell God about it. Don't just cry out the name of Jesus, but turn to Him and say, now, Jesus, here it is. Pray about it. Cast your care. The Bible says to cast your cares to Him. Write this down. Pray about it. Don't confess the problem. Oh, Lord, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that something's going to happen. I'm going to be sick or this person is going to leave me. I'm going to lose my job. Or I'm afraid. Okay, it's fine. Say that to Him, though. And then say, Lord, now give me your peace. I call out to you. If you have to, get in your prayer closet. Take a walk. Do something. Get out there with the Lord. Get along with Him and say, Lord, I'm hurting. I'm struggling. I'm afraid. I cry out to you. I rebuke this and I take authority in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, won't you help me? Help me. He's a very present help in time of need. Wasn't He to the disciples on the boat? He sure was. Yeah. Third thing. Share it with a friend. I love the body of Christ. I love the body of Christ. I want you to look around to your left, to your right, in front, behind you. Just look around for just a second while I'm talking. You see? Because a fear shared is a fear reduced. You hear me? A fear shared is a fear reduced. You can change the words. A burden shared is a burden reduced. Because a fear is a burden, isn't it? A fear shared is a fear reduced. I want, and it also, it kind of takes some of the power away from it, you know? It's like, oh, I'm really afraid here. I'm going to tell you what's going on while I'm afraid. And then the person can say, well, let me just tell you, I can relate to that. Or let me tell you what God did for me. Or let me tell you what God's word says about that. Or let me pray with you. Hey, let's walk in this thing together. Let's hold each other accountable. Let's encourage one another. Share it with a friend. God has given us one another for that reason. No man should be an island. I'll tell you what, one of the worst punishments that a prisoner can have is isolation. That they just get in a room somewhere and they put them out there for a month. It's the worst thing in the world. Because God has given us, created us to love and need one another. Share it with a friend. Tell a friend. I mean, someone that you can trust. Someone that you know that has your back. Someone that you know can speak into it. Someone that you know that can help carry the load with you. Tell a friend. You're not alone. Your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, your best friend, a brother and sister in the Lord, somebody here. God has given you somebody. You're not to carry this thing alone. Certainly give it to the Lord. That is so important. But also, let's carry one another's burdens. On Wednesday nights, coming up a week from this Wednesday, so we're going to start our small groups back again after the summer break. I hope that you'll come. We have a married couples class. We have Roxanna's going to be leading the 6th through 12th graders on Wednesday night in the youth building. I would imagine we'll meet down there. And then we also have a Bible study that meets in one of these rooms. We have a single adults over in this room over here. We have the children's ministry. And those are all small groups that help us to share with one another things that are going on. And I'm going to say this, that on our Wednesday nights in the married couples class that meets in the fellowship hall, we're going to unpack this a little bit more, these things that we're going to be talking about. So, yeah, I get to speak to you, and you guys are amen and all that on Sundays. But on Wednesday nights, we're going to get to talk to one another about these things a little bit more. So I hope that you'll make, as part of your weekly schedule and weekly discipline, that you would make Wednesday nights at 6:30. Part of what you do, 6:30 to 7:30. You know, don't worry about your kids losing a little bit of sleep from school. They'll be fine. I lost more sleep at church, and I passed and got my diploma in high school. It's amazing how that works. I got my homework done and everything. It's just amazing how this generation is, oh, my kid needs that 30 minutes of sleep. They'll be fine. They really will. They'll find the place to get the sleep. Come on Wednesday nights, and let's come and grow together in the Lord, okay? It's so funny how the excuses we use. Forget it. Kids, let them sleep in the car on the way home. Whatever. They'll be fine. I love kids, but they'll be fine. Number four, share it with a friend. Number four, read relevant scripture. Read relevant scripture. I want you to put up, Nate, for me, Psalm 23, because what scripture does is it encourages us, doesn't it? It changes, it shifts our perspective. It gets us off of the situation and onto what God's word says. Read relevant scripture. Whatever it is that you're going through, read scripture that supports what God's plan is for your life and put your name in it. You know, Joyce, I say to you, Joyce, da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, Zach, this is what God's word says about da-da-da-da-da-da. Is it to put your name in it, whatever this you're going through. Could you put up Psalm 23? And I just want us to all read this together. Would you read this out loud together with me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, doesn't that bring you comfort? Doesn't that help shift your perspective? Doesn't that help you when you take God's word and you realize, wait a minute, the circumstances say this, but God's word says this, and God's word is going to be my plumb line. God's word is my true north. God is my solid foundation, and what his word has to say is what I'm going to walk out. Not what people say, not what the circumstances say, not even what I feel in my heart, but what I know in my spirit is what God's word says, that I'm going to rest in his promises. It just helps us to keep our eyes from looking to the left and to the right. And fifth thing, finally, here's the fifth thing. Go ahead and put the fifth thing up there, Nate, if you don't mind. I want you to journal your fears and God's faithfulness through it. You know what that's going to do? So here we are, August the 26th, 2018. God, I'm going through a very difficult time. I am afraid because of fill-in-the-blank circumstances and situations, but I'm going to trust in you as I give it to you, as I speak your name into it, speak the name of Jesus, take authority over it, and I'm going to trust in you as I read your word and I share it with a friend, and I'm going to pray to you, and I'm going to do all these things. So that's August the 25th, 2018. A couple of weeks later, God, it's been a couple of weeks, and I just want to thank you because your word has been a strength and a help to me. The situation hasn't changed, but I'm still trusting in you. I'm going to hold on to your promises and to your word that's going to strengthen me. And my friendship with my brother that I've been sharing this with has been nothing but a help to me. 2 weeks later, God, I want to thank you that I'm still struggling through this, but yet I know that your word's true. A month later, the same thing. A month later, the same thing. But all of a sudden, 3, 4, maybe 5 months down the road, God, I want to thank you today. It's December the 31st, and I want to thank you for the breakthrough in my life. God, you have brought, you've been faithful. You've been so good to me. I want to thank you for restoring me. I want to thank you for bringing me through this. I want to thank you for your goodness. I just rejoice in all that you've done. And I'm going to go back and read from August to December how I navigated it, how you helped me to navigate through this. And then a year later, I'm going to go back and look at that journal when I go through another test and another time of fear. I'm going to go, wait a minute, I want to go back and read that August through December thing again and see how God was so faithful to bring me through that. And it becomes landmarks in your life. How many knows what landmarks are all about? How many has landmarks in your life of God's faithfulness and goodness to you? Amen? Anybody else? Can we raise your hand if you can say amen to that? Yeah, all of us can say that. God is faithful. He's provided landmarks for us, hasn't he? And we don't have to then fear in that thing a year from now because we can look back and say, wait a minute, if God is faithful to me then, back when he did it back then he's going to be faithful to me now because he never changes. And he plays no favorites. If he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, then he's faithful yesterday. He's going to be faithful today. He's going to be. So those are landmarks in our life. And as we journal them, sometimes our memory fades. And Satan would love for that to happen. We can say, yeah, did that really happen that way? Well, let me just check. August, December, yeah, it really happened that way. God, you're faithful. I will not fear. Write down that situation. Write down those circumstances right then while it's fresh. Amen? So journal your fears. Yeah, go ahead. Be honest with them. But also journal God's faithfulness through it. The journey that provides those landmarks for those times that you're going to need them. I want to read to you a quote from a man that you may know or may not know, depending on your age. But the North Carolina State basketball team, the Wildcats, I believe is what they're called, had a coach back in the 80s and the 90s. His name was Jimmy Valvano. They called him Jimmy V. And he was a great coach. He was not only a great coach, but he was a great man. He was a very positive, energetic man. And the beautiful story about him is that the North Carolina State Wildcats basketball team, Wolfpack, just want to make sure he's listening. See, you're still awake. That's good. The Wolfpack. I said it the first time, you didn't correct me, then I said it the second time, you did, so I was wondering. Yeah, the Wolfpack, North Carolina State team, Wolfpack, weren't really great. He came on the scene and, yeah, the team got really good. And in fact, they won even a national championship. Great story. I mean, it's a great Cinderella story. But the story's not ending there because later on, Jimmy V got cancer. And if you know his story, he finally succumbed to the cancer. But at one of the last appearances of his life, he said this, and I put the quote up on the screen for you all to look at and read along with me. It says, "Today, I fight a different battle. You see, I have trouble walking and I have trouble standing for a long period of time. Cancer has taken away a lot of my physical abilities. Cancer is attacking and destroying my body. But what cancer cannot touch is my mind, my heart, and my soul. I have faith in God and hope that things might get better for me. But even if they don't, I promise you this, I will never give up. I will never ever quit. And if cancer gets me, then I'll just try my best to go to heaven and be the best coach they've ever seen up there." And I'm sure that they have a great basketball team in heaven. Well, it wasn't too much longer after that that Jimmy did pass. But he leaves us with a great legacy and a great story and a great testimony of never giving up and not allowing fear to control you. I know some of us, many of us, in fact, I would say the majority of us, walk in some level of fear in our lives. And my point in what I'm trying to do this morning and share with you is that God is bigger than your fear. Because you see, again, fear results when your source of security isn't strong enough to sustain you in your storm. Romans chapter 8, I want to talk to you real quick. Verse 12 through 15 says this. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. You see, we have a Father. We have a Heavenly Father. He's our Daddy God. He's our Abba Father. And He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. The Bible says He's given us instead a spirit of peace and love and a sound mind. I want to move to verse 31 of the same chapter, Romans 8, and I'll conclude with this. What then shall we say in response to all of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is He that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and He's also interceding for us. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, or might I add, fear? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, including the power of fear, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And can I just tell you that fear has the name Satan, and Satan was also created as a perfect angel by God. So he falls under that category as well. Anything else in all creation includes Satan and his demons. Nothing and no one is able to separate us from the love of Christ. I want to say this, faith in God and His perfect love. The Bible says His perfect love cast out all fears. Faith in God and His perfect love cast out all fears and overcomes all fears. And God, through His Son Jesus Christ, is our source of security that will sustain us through every storm. If you're facing fear this morning, if you face it tomorrow, if you face it sometime down the road, know that the reason that you're facing that fear, that you're dealing with that fear, that you're experiencing fear, is because you've placed your source of security, your faith in that that is not strong enough to sustain you. You've gotten your eyes off of God and His ability to calm the storm, to see you through. He's with you in the boat. In the name of Jesus, rebuke it. Take authority over it. Tell God about it. Tell a friend about it. Read scripture that encourages you. And journal not only your fears, but God's faithfulness through it. Those are practical steps to help you walk through how to deal with fear. Those are tools that you can use walking out of here. And I hope that you'll do that this morning. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance. from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.